Romans chapter 3. I was telling Brother Daniel a little earlier, I don't know about the delivery, but one thing I do know, God put on my heart when I was asked a while back to speak tonight, I am very confident about the subject. So don't hold me or don't hold God responsible for the delivery, but God told me to preach about the subject matter tonight, and it is about justification by faith. God's the source of righteousness. So if you have a problem with that, you can take it up with God. If you have a problem with the delivery, by all means, take me out back and give me a good licking. I'll deserve it, I'm sure. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Very interesting in the book of Romans, this passage that we finish up with in Romans. Romans starts, of course, in the very first chapter, and Paul is writing to a group of folks here, as you know, and he just prior to Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, he tops it all off in verse 20 when you're in chapter 3 and verse 20, and he says this: therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So right here in the verse 20, this passage is a major premise in the book of Romans, which Paul has defended ever since chapter 1, he's defended this. And basically what he says, just to give us a recap before we head into the message tonight, he says, since all are guilty before God, then no one can be saved by works. Therefore, there's got to be another plan. There's got to be another plan. And then there's the whole book does a shift right here, and you have the grace of God that steps in on the scene. Let's pray. Father, be with us now for these next few moments. Holy Spirit of God, give me clarity of thought and the words to say tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So starting in verse 21, he said, but now, there's that shift. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And the thought continues, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, which is a big long word that means the satisfying payment, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. And he keeps going all the way to 31. We won't read all those verses, but we'll get right into this. And we're just going to look at it biblically tonight. God's amazing plan is that righteousness is made available to the guilty. And he spent the first few chapters describing why all of us, everybody, is guilty. Whether you've heard, whether you've not heard, or you claim you haven't heard, the Bible even says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 that even by looking at the things that are already made, God has manifested Himself to even those that would in our estimation claim that they've never heard. But all they have to do is look at what He has already provided and that faith that He has placed in their heart. And the Bible says in Romans 1, they have no excuse whatsoever. No one is with an excuse. So His plan is that righteousness is made available to the guilty. and that is you and I. We have the source here, and it's amazing how Paul, through the under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he delivers everything that we need to know about righteousness and about that justification. I've often heard justification being just as if I haven't sinned. I don't necessarily like that definition because I think it goes further than that. Justification is where God takes, and we're going to find this out tonight, and it is clearly pointed out here in Scripture, where God takes His righteousness and He places it on us. It's not just as if it never happened for us. It still happened. We're still guilty, but He no longer sees us. He sees, God sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. It can sometimes be a very complex subject matter, but it really isn't when we see it in light of Scripture. So in verse 21, that first part, we have the source of where righteousness comes from. And he says, but now the righteousness of whom? The righteousness of God. The only righteousness sufficient to save is the absolute, holy, and perfect righteousness of God Almighty. Thank God for that. And then he goes right into that second part of verse 21, and he shows us the distinction of righteousness when he says, without the law is manifested. The righteousness that saves is completely apart from the obedience to the commandments of God. Do you notice what it says there in verse 21? Because he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets are back here, and they're witnessing. They're witnessing the righteousness of God. It is a distinction. It is separate. He wanted to make sure that we all knew the commandments of God are a wonderful thing and a beautiful thing, and they're for the believer. The commandments of God, they're in Scripture. We are to abide by them. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But it does not mix with righteousness. God's righteousness, the distinction. And then in that third part also we see the attestation that I referred to, meaning that somebody witnessed, it was witnessed by the law and the prophet. Salvation by faith is not a new doctrine. It is the only way any man or woman, boy or girl, ever has or ever will be saved, as was declared in the Old Testament, under the Old Pact, as well as the New Testament or the New Covenant. And then we get to verse 22. I love Scripture, don't you? Amen. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We find in verse 22 the condition of righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. The only way to receive the righteousness of God, which saves, is by faith. Faith is the vehicle. Faith is the only way. And then we get to the second part of verse 22, and we find, as we do in other parts of Scripture, but I love how he says it here, we find the accessibility of righteousness. Who is that righteousness available to? It is available unto all. Unto all. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter how pretty or how ugly you are. It doesn't matter whether you have hair or you don't have hair. It is available unto all. Christ did taste death for every man. Every man, I was saying this morning in Sunday school, a lot of times we can get caught up in all this newfangled stuff that comes up, and sometimes there's these really weird doctrines that spring up here and there, and I would say, don't worry about that. You just stick to the Word of God, and you study the Word of God, and you know the Word of God, and you let the Word of God get in you, and the Word of God will change you, and when some of that junk comes up, it will be exposed. Automatically. You'll say, something is not right. Like old Madame Clavel on Madeline. Something is not right. For those of you that remember that. Something is not right. Hebrews 2:9, he tasted death for every man. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Still in verse 22, that third part, we see the bestowal of righteousness where he says, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Upon all. He literally takes and he places his righteousness upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We get to verse 23 and we find the all-famous need for the righteousness of God when he says, for all have sinned. All have sinned. For all fall short of God's holy standard. And when he says, and come short of the glory of God. God is a thrice holy God. He says, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The thrice holy God because of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Amen. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. We all fall short of His holy standard. And then we come to verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We see the need in verse 23, but then we find the redemption price of righteousness in verse 24. Yes, it is freely given, being justified freely by His grace. But then also, yes, it was dearly purchased. It cost someone a whole lot through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it cost Him precious blood. The Bible says every drop of blood it cost for our redemption. Verse 25, the verse part of the verse says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. We see the satisfaction of righteousness. Christ, sacrifice, satisfied the righteous demands of God as our holy judge for the just punishment of all sin. Of all sin, propitiation, the satisfying payment, a full payment, a full satisfaction. At that moment, justice had been satisfied. Amen. For whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith. That other part of, second part of verse 25, you have the declaration of righteousness. Where he says, Christ's death declared God just. And this one's a little tricky here. He declared God just for not having punished all those prior to Calvary that had sinned. Romans 3:25, to declare His righteousness, let us read it, for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God is a patient God, but he is also a just God. And here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul is bringing out the fact that God was declared a just God for not having punished everything pre-Calvary, pre-shedding of blood. That's where you see that reference, the remission or forgiveness of sins that are passed through the forbearance. It refers to God's forgiveness of sins before sins were paid for on Calvary. There's a little squirrely doctrine that runs around out there. We won't get into it. I won't clutter your brain with it. But just know that God was declared just because he also took care of everything pre-Calvary, past, present, future. The death of Christ for sin declared God just in the remission or forgiveness of sins past, but also declared God just in forgiving sin for the just penalty of sin, and it has now been fully paid. He says to declare, I say, verse 26, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and also the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So you have the death of Christ made God, the Father, the justifier of sinners. Amen. The justifier of sinners. Not only do we see that, and I'm hurrying, you have the law of righteousness, where in verse 27, he continues, where is boasting then? It is excluded, he says. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of what? Faith. By the law of faith. Righteousness comes by faith. Amen. Not by works. Not by works. It doesn't matter if those works precede salvation. And they should. And they should. We ought to behave. We ought to behave. We don't get to do what we want. Or God applies a little wisdom. Okay? We don't do what we want. But regardless of that, faith is how righteousness comes, not by works, excluding all boasting. Why did he do that? Because we are proud people. We are. I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I can prove it. I'm here. My neighbor's not. Right? You say, well, I don't have a problem with boasting. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. God took care of that. And he said, listen, we don't want any of that going on. Because if my son paid a full, complete price, he gets all the glory. Amen. He gets all the glory for it. None of the glory goes to anybody else except to him. So the conclusion concerning righteousness. And all God's people said, amen. He said, conclusion, hallelujah. Therefore, he says in verse 28, we conclude that a man, woman, boy, or girl is justified or declared righteous by what? Faith, without the deeds of the law. And this applies to Jew and to Gentile alike. To Jew and to Gentile, is he the God of the Jews only? 29, is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify. And then he uses a term very familiar to them, the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. So then you have the law and righteousness then in verse 31. Do we then make void the law? through faith. Salvation by faith does not destroy the law. It doesn't do away with the commandments of God, but rather establishes and fulfills its purpose. And what is the purpose of the law? It is to draw us and to bring us to Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing also when understood in context. It's a wonderful thing. I won't go into this. Our time is close to being done. But in Romans chapter 4, he then continues and he illustrates the righteousness of God in the life of a couple people. One of those, one whom we're very familiar with, Abraham. And he says this in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, Abraham believed God. That was his salvation experience. He believed God. And then what happens when Abraham believed God? Then God says in verse 4, and God did what? He counted unto him as what? Righteousness. God counts Abraham righteous on the basis of what? His faith. So you see, it not only applies to right now, it has been the same ever since the beginning. He believed, and God counted unto him as God charged righteousness to the spiritual account of Abraham. Very interesting. There's a term here in Scripture. I won't get into it, but it's really neat that you have three. Have you ever heard the word of imputation or impute? The Bible uses that term. It says it imputes. That means he charges righteousness to that account. It's a legal term. You have three major imputations in the Bible. Number one, Adam's sin was charged, imputed to the account of the entire world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. What does it say? It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and another thing entered, death by sin. So that death passed upon what? All men, for that all have sinned. So you have that imputation of sin of Adam, it passed upon all men. The second one you have is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at this real quick. I've got to share this or else I'm going to burst. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him, who? Christ, to be what? Sin for us. We heard an awesome message on that from Brother Johnny Pope, how that God literally made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you have the transfer, or you have the imputation of mankind's sin was placed on Christ. He was made sin for us. And then the last one that you have, Christ's righteousness is imputed to all who believe. Amen. All who believe. If we had earned our salvation by our own works, then it would not be a free gift of grace, but it would be something that God owed us. It was freely given. I said I wasn't going to get into it, and I won't. The righteousness of David by faith, the same thing. These guys were rascals. These guys misbehave. We would really have to consider if they applied for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, because they had a sordid past. Why are they righteous? Because God, by faith, because of their faith and his grace, he takes his righteousness. It's not just as if they hadn't done it. No, they did it. And everybody knew they did it too. But they had on them the righteousness of God. And that's why somebody as rotten as David could be a man after God's own heart. That's why someone as rotten as you and I can be people of God, can be children of God, can walk with Him and talk with Him and call Him our Heavenly Father. Time has fled. Hallelujah. Let me finish with this. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 16, you actually have the plan of salvation, where he says in chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Isn't that interesting how he says that? It is of faith so that it can be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's speaking to the Jews here. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Since the law can only bring wrath, because we all fall short of God's holy standard, God chose that salvation would be by faith, for this is the only way that it could be by grace. By grace. One of the most important passages of Scripture here in Romans, and perhaps in the Bible, understanding how this fits in, and this is where I conclude. Since all the world is guilty before God, Romans 3:19, by the standard of their works, then the only way for anyone to be saved is if God makes His righteousness available by grace. And the only way to make salvation by grace available is to make it available by faith alone. With no works, no merit whatsoever being involved on the part of the one believing. Thank God for grace, and thank God for faith. And thank God for a satisfying payment that took care of what you and I would never have been able or never will be able to take care of. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your righteousness. Thank you that you no longer see my deeds. The moment by faith I trusted you. Thank you for a complete and satisfying payment in the shedding of perfect blood. God, making you a just God. You have always been just. You always will be just because you are God. And you do things as only you can do in a just and perfect and absolute manner. We love you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray this evening, may we never forget as your people, may we never forget that it has nothing to do with us. For when we see God's righteousness as the Scripture lays it out, we truly see we had nothing to do with it. And that in turn, Lord, it helps me. It helps me as I view others. And as I unsatisfactorily compare myself to others, I should not do that, Lord. But it helps me see it in a proper perspective. You died for all. Your righteousness was made available to all who believe, regardless of actions. I pray that you would help me with that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, and I would just say this simply as an invitation, and you have not trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, you haven't placed, it's not hard, it is simply by faith. The grace of God extended that to you and I. The grace of God covered our payment. It was full. It was complete. Maybe you've been trusting something else. Perhaps even trusting in your works. Something that you do that's good in your eyes to get you to heaven. The Bible says it is not sufficient. God says that is not sufficient. Only my Son, Jesus Christ, God says, satisfied the payment for the sin of mankind. The invitation tonight would be for you. Do not wait. Do not hesitate. It does not matter how long you go to church or you've been going to church. It doesn't matter who knows you, who doesn't know you. The only thing that matters is God's righteousness is available to you right here, right now, if you believe. That's it. I would recommend you trust Him as your Savior. As a believer tonight, as the piano and the organ begin to play, as a believer tonight, when we view properly the righteousness of God, it allows us a proper perspective when we're dealing with those that don't look as good as we think we do. When you view yourself as God sees you, when you know the whole story, the background of the story, it helps us in dealing with others. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, Brother Dan, I haven't been treating others as God has treated me. Knowing full and well who I am, and I do not measure up to His standard, yet He sends His Son to make that full satisfying payment for my sin. I believe you and I as a believer could give some folks a break, don't you? I think you and I as a believer could make some room for some others to trust Christ as their Savior. Taking what the world and what the devil has done with their life, I believe you and I have room to allow them to be part and to be a brother and sister in Christ. Don't you? As we all stand quietly to our feet, the ladies continue to play this invitation. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus, the things of this world and how we view things, it grows strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. If you're here tonight and you need to have a conversation with God, get that done. Whether it be here at the altar or whether it be there in the pew. There's someone here this evening and you need to know Christ as your Savior. You need to place your faith in Christ. Brother Daniel's standing down here in front. Just slip out from your pew, from your chair. Come down here to the front. And He'll show you how you can take your faith and place it in the only one that could pay that price for sin. Because He already paid the price for sin. It's complete. It's full. And it's yours. If you have faith. Amen. If you'll kindly look this way, And as you know, the invitation is never over. If you're here this evening and perhaps you didn't want to come down, you can talk to anybody in this room that knows Christ as their Savior, and they have the wherewithal to show you how to put your faith and trust in Christ. And I would recommend that you do that before you leave. You say, why do you recommend that, Brother Dan? Well, I don't know of a soul here that knows when they're going to die. It happens to anybody and everybody. And so you need to get that squared away and taken care of. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight. It's been wonderful. It's been great. And it's time to go down to the house. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You're dismissed. May God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for...